Thank the Lord tonight for that rock. Kind of visualizing the situations that's probably happened to us at different times. Maybe cleaning up your yard or moving some dirt around. You come up on a rock. You hit it with a shovel, or maybe you know it's already there and a few inches of it's sticking out. And then you decide, well, I'm going to dig that rock out. You kick it, it doesn't move. Then you kind of dig around it with your toe, and that doesn't help it. After a while, you get a shovel or something, you start digging, and that rock is not just the size of a football, but it's going down and down into the earth. And that song was being sung, I thought about Jesus throughout all eternity. His habitation, His presence, it absolutely has always been, it always will be. And you and me sometimes may see just a portion of it. We may see a part of its effect in our life at the time. But as our experience unfolds and as things begin to happen and we begin to need more or another part of it, that rock is there, and it just inhabits eternity and goes out into all of life. So I thank the Lord tonight that it's a foundation, that Jesus Christ is the foundation that God Himself placed in the earth. So thank the Lord. Some things in life that we need: food, we need water, we eat because it takes energy to live. We drink because it takes fluids to cause our body to function and our minds to function. In breathing and exercising, we use those fluids and we have to replenish them. Mankind needs shelter. We were not created to just live in the primitive, but we need some type of shelter. And we need air. We can't breathe without air or live without air. We have to have a degree of oxygen coming in at very regular intervals or we'll die. A lot of things in life that make us who we are, and we need those things. We need the blood circulating in our bodies. We need just a variety of things for us to be complete. And I was thinking this afternoon some about something that every one of us need at different times and sometimes more than others. And I'm thinking about the word comfort tonight. Thinking about how we're not of the animal world in the sense that we don't need comfort. We need an association. We need, we have realizations concerning life and the complexities of it that God did not place in other creatures. We have events that affect us greater than just the present, but we think, we remember. We have emotions and we have a mind that can be troubled. We understand grief and we feel grief and pain and disappointment. We face the reality that we made mistakes and that our decisions were not the wisest and sometimes are costly to us financially or even spiritually. We run the gamut of coming up short in different ways. And because of that, because we have feelings and emotions, because we know what disappointment is and it affects us, we need from time to time to be comforted. We need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened from the toils of life and the circumstances that take from us. We need strengthening and encouraging in our life. So tonight I'd just like to encourage us that as you and me journey along, the Lord supplies water and food. The Lord supplies for us in our physical bodies. And I am comforted and thankful to know that in our emotions, in our feelings, in the things that reach down far beyond the surface of our skin, down into our hearts and our very beings, that God also is a God of comfort, a God of mercy, and God of understanding, a God that has a very real, keen sense of us. So many times in life, you and me are not able to fully associate with someone else, someone else's feelings or their emotions. Our keenness toward them is not what it could be, or it's maybe impossible to be there. But I'm glad tonight that God is keenly aware of us. He's just very, very astute when it comes to you and me. He hears our cries and He sees our needs. And He knew and He knows that we're unable to fully be sufficient and remedy the things in life that come our way, whatever they may be. There's too many of them to think about. And they're unique sometimes to you or to me. They're general, but yet things that happen in life are very personal at times, and very much fear can be in this, and a dread. There are things that we dread. Job said, "The thing that I feared most." We have relationships that regrettably disappoint us. Family matters and human relations, and then death. All these things come our way, and sometimes our children, sometimes our parents, things happen in their life and that we feel so distraught about. We feel at wit's end about. I'm glad tonight God comforts His children. I'm glad He's interested in our welfare, and I don't know what we'd do without that. I watch people and I watch myself. My wife to me is, well, I'll just say a comfort, and that's stating it lightly. When I was having trouble last year, there was a places in my mind she couldn't go. She would have if she could have. There's limits to one another's comforts. I would try to explain to her, and I'd say, "Honey, I don't have any words to say." And, but you know, there was something there. There was someone there that kept me. There was someone there that gave me assurance. There was someone there that kept me from going beyond where I needed to go. It was God. And He came in His subtle sometimes ways, and He comforted me. And that comfort came as a ray of hope. That comfort came as just a little close feeling that the Lord knows the way that I take. A scripture, perhaps. That comfort came in the sense of, I know in whom I believed. And I know He's going to take care of me. And sometimes we had to fight for those places, but they were there because God comforts His children. There's a scripture, you know it well, in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. He talks about God not being a God of some comfort. And I want to say tonight, you and me aren't through living. And you and me have yet places that we're going to face that we're going to need comforted. And we're going to be bereaved yet. And we're going to be disappointed yet. And we're going to be frightened yet. And human relations are going to go sour sometimes yet. We're still in a place that we're going to need that presence of God. And He speaks in these verses about all comfort. And that's where we are so thankful that God distinguishes Himself from one another, from us. God can comfort us in all things. Listen to what He said. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. And I believe one thing that gives this validity, not only our experience, but Paul's experiences. You can read about, probably more about Paul than any other person, save Christ in the New Testament. We know of his disappointments. We know of his victories. We know of the times he was imprisoned and beaten and neglected and just on and on. We know quite a bit about Paul. And I think the fact that Paul is saying this helps me and you to know that it's true. And he said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." I'm glad this little word "all" is included here. He didn't say some, and he didn't say a various number, but he said in every encounter in life, in every place that you need help, that you need strength, that you need encouragement, that you need wisdom, that you need a shoulder, that you need someone to bear something, you need someone to understand, in all the circumstances, in all those places that you and me are unable to define to one another, those places that you and me are not able to ever even explain to ourselves. God said, Hebrew writer said, that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. That's God's comfort. That's God understanding us. That's God taking up our cause, and it's almost a strange thought, but God taking up our cause to Himself, knowing that I cannot articulate with, that I can just plead for mercy. There's been places in your life and mine, perhaps. I remember one time I was praying about a situation, and I absolutely had no words that I could say except, "Lord, help." I knew what the situation was, but to describe it, to say what I needed, I was unable to put that into words. I'm confident that's one of the experiences where the Spirit made intercession. The God of all comfort. See, you and me, we have feelings and emotions that psychiatrists and psychologists, I believe they do their best to explain them. They fall short of that. Because it just goes beyond the ability of man to comprehend our own self. But yet the Spirit of God, the God of all comfort, the one who intercedes for us by Himself, to Himself, for our good, for our welfare, for our strength, for our encouragement. The Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings that we can't utter. That maybe even if we could hear what the Spirit said to the Father, and how that transpires, I leave that to you. But if we could hear that conversation, we may not be able to fully understand what the Spirit is saying to God, if we could be a privy to that conversation. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. How many times have we ever just been in a place we needed mercy? That understanding. We're comforted sometimes and many times by someone just extended mercy to us. Mercy that says, "It will be okay." Mercy, "You're safe." Mercy that tells us that we're loved, yet we're still in the fold. Mercy that comforts us by it, tempers the wrath of God through the blood and through the covenant of Christ, that lets us know that no matter what, He's caring for me. And in my less than wise, less than strong at times, there's mercy at the throne of grace. We may obtain that. We may have that. That we might find that we need. I can know that, see. I may not understand it, and I may not be able, probably can't explain it to you. But I can know that. That's a comfort. That I can come boldly, even in my grief, and cry out for mercy. And find grace to help. Find mercy to help. Find understanding. Words that I cannot say, but I know I need something. And God help me. And He's there. That's a comfort. See, He's the God of all comfort. Oh, Satan comes around, does he not? I need comforting from Satan. And when Satan would come in like a flood, the Bible promises us that the God of heaven, the Spirit of God, will lift up standard against him. That comforts me. To know that I'm not in this battle alone. That it's not up to me to resist the devil. I know the Bible says that. And I know that's true to a degree. But it's not really me. It's my reliance on the blood and faith in God. That's what we resist Him in. It's comforting to know that He's going to be there. We heard a song about a rock tonight. It's comforting to know that that rock is not shifting sand. It's comforting to know that He is with us still. It's comforting to know that that rock reaches far, you might think, above and far below whatever we may encounter. It's an anchor, steadfast. And it was laid, behold, I lay in Zion, God said, a cornerstone, a chief, precious stone. And that we that believe on Him, He said, would not be ashamed, or in another place, would not be confounded. Now that's a comfort, see, because there's many things in life that confound me. How about you? You know, sometimes I shake my head and I wonder. And it's not about, well, it's about anything, really. A lot of things. But He said, if we believe on Him, we'll not be ashamed and we'll not be confounded. We'll not be put to scorn or to ridicule. Thank the Lord, that's a comfort to me. I don't know how God does a lot of things. And I cannot tell you how God is going to do a lot of things. And I cannot tell you how God will help you exactly. But we have this promise and this comfort. There's a rock in Zion. And Zion is built on a rock. And that rock is Jesus. And that rock is the promises of God. And He told me they're yea and they're amen in Christ. See, that's a comfort to me. I may not understand it, and I surely don't always, but it's a comfort to know He knows the way that I take. And when this is over with, by the grace of God, I'm going to come through this true and faithful. That's a comfort. To know there is a foundation that's unmovable. And to know that what God has led me and taught me and given me, it's a comfort to know He's not going to change His mind. You know, when you're making a financial deal or something, till it's all said and done, there's always that chance someone will back out. You're buying a house, someone buying your house, they put up earnest money. Till that contract is signed and the money transpires from the mortgage company or from your bank to their bank or their bank to your bank, there's always this possibility someone might say, you know, I don't want to do this. Or someone says, well, you know, we thought you qualified, but you don't. I thought I had this much money in savings, and I made a mistake. I don't. There's always that legitimate possibility that things will change. Thank God for His word that is ever settled. Ever settled in heaven. That's a comfort to me. Say, I'm uneasy in a transaction. I've sold my house a few times, and I just can't really wait for that person to get their name on the line, because there's always that little apprehension that they may change their mind. And God's word is settled forever in heaven. Thank the Lord tonight that we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the anchor, the foundation. And He goes on. He's the God of all comfort, of absolutely everything. It's really, and I don't, how shall I say this? We're human and we understand these kind of statements. But sometimes we feel as though God doesn't understand. That my situation is unique. And that's not blasphemous. That's not necessarily something that we have to repent of in a sinful way. It's a product of me and you being human, fearful, emotional. And our situations can seem so daunting and so vast to us. The answers can seem eons away and light years away. They can never be visualized. And the songwriter said, the greatest sufferings man may undergo. And sometimes we feel, well, my case is different. Well, there's nothing new, the Bible said, under the sun. I want to say to us tonight, He is, by the Word of God, He is the God of all comfort. In spite of how you may feel, in spite of what you may see, in spite of how you analyze your or my situation, what am I going to do? I am devastated. I am beyond comfort. I am beyond solace. Words just fall off of me, and they have no depth to them, and that can happen to us. But the Bible said He is the God of all comfort. Absolutely. So when we wrestle through, when we wrestle through our hurts and our disappointments, thank God the truth is still there. He's the God of all comfort. He lets us, He permits us, and maybe it's the only way to come to grips with ourselves in a way of being devastated to the point that we cannot explain any longer where we are. We get to the depths of our dilemma, and then we find Jesus. Then we find the comfort. We've come to the end of our extremities. One songwriter said, when we've reached the limits of our hoarded resources, or something like that. And He talks about He giveth, and He giveth, and He giveth more grace. And we sometimes have to get there to realize I'm at the bottom of the barrel, and look who's there down there with me. The God of all comfort. And He begins to lift us out of the barrel of despair, of the barrel of gloom. Thought about my brother-in-law a while ago. He got down there. But guess who was down there with him? The God of all comfort. Who comforted him in all of his tribulation. And He will you. And He will me. So we don't want to despair. See, the promise is He's the God of all comfort. Who comforted us, comforteth us, or comforts us. And some, a little bit, most, the ones I understand, the ones that I can see an answer to, tribulations. He said in all our tribulations. Tribulations take on as many attributes as you have attributes and me. Things that happen to us and the vastness of life. But the Scripture tells us that in all. So let's be encouraged tonight. He promised us, I believe in Jeremiah, that underneath are the everlasting arms of the Lord, are the everlasting arms of love, one or the other, of God. Underneath us, regardless of whether we can feel it or whether we cannot feel it, underneath God's people are the everlasting arms of love. And regardless of how you and me may perceive it, they're there. So don't run off in total despair, but remember, He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. And then, praise the Lord, He wants us to be effective in the kingdom. I like this about the Lord. He blesses us financially, say, and He really does not want you and me to hoard that. Freely ye have received, freely give. With comfort, it's a gift. And you know what He asked us then to do, Paul said? That we, you and me, who have been comforted by this great and holy God, that we may in turn be His ambassadors, His emissaries, that we may be that light, that we may be that salt, that we in turn comfort others. And it's based on experience that we in turn comfort others with the comfort that we have enjoyed, that we have been recipients of. And it'll never match God's comfort, but it can be that catalyst to encourage someone to continue trusting on and believing on. It can be that catalyst that will ignite hope in someone's heart. It will be that a catalyst who, that has, someone has known us, known our experiences, and we relate that to them, it can give them that little bit of impetus they need to keep right on trusting. It could come as a great wave of comfort whereby God would use you or me or someone to just give exactly what was needed. But obviously it's always that application of the grace of God and the mercy of God that effectively brings it. But the thought is, freely you've received, freely give comfort. Freely you have received mercy, return that mercy. Back to God via your fellow man. Freely you have received more than enough to meet your financial needs. Return it to God by facilitating the work of God, by helping your fellow man. That's how we help. So as we are comforted, we in turn become a vessel that in our limited perhaps, and in our experience, we're able in turn to comfort others. Tonight I'm glad because just as sure as you need water, and just as sure as we need food, we're going to need comfort. We're going to need it a lot, not just once in a while. We're going to have the rug of life pulled out from under us. A lot of things are going to happen. But thank God, now we're able to comfort them by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God. I thank the Lord for that thought, that you and me have that promise. Over in Romans, again, comfort comes, and we wouldn't even try to attempt to think of all the different ways. One of the greatest things the Lord has provided for you and me is the Bible. The Scriptures of God, the Scriptures of the Old Testament and the Scriptures of the New Testament. Wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. And this is what Paul wrote in 5 and 4. For whatsoever, 15 and 4. In Romans 15 and 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now, granted, what we understand, Paul was speaking of the Old Testament. And let's not... This is the Scripture, see. To Paul, I don't suppose Paul or Mark or John or Luke, Peter, I don't suppose any of those people perhaps knew they were writing Scripture. But they were holy men of old, just like Isaiah, just like Ezekiel, Moses. And they recorded to us the message God wants us to hear. And he said, these things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's good to read the Bible. It's good to study the Bible, and it's good to hide the Word of God. I was talking with someone Friday. We were out visiting and having lunch together, and we were remarking about us as humans. And he is talking about how he had trouble remembering. I said, the Scriptures. And I said, yeah, have you ever noticed it, that you hear a message that really impresses you and you feel like it's ordained to God? And you go to someone and say, oh, the Lord really blessed. And you're asked, well, what did the preacher preach on? I've had people come to me and say, Brother Stanley, I sure got a lot out of that message last week. And I had to think, exactly what did I preach on 2 weeks ago? But you know, it's not contingent on us having a photographic memory that can just pick it up and remember. It's hiding it in our heart. It's placing it there. And the Lord told the disciples, I'll call to your remembrance. You'll understand when you need to understand. They'll be there as a resource. They'll be there as a comfort to you. And you may not remember verbatim every Scripture even. And I wish I could do that better. But we can know the meaning of them. We can know the comfort of them. And we can hide that in our heart And if you ever had that, I know you have, just at the right time, that scripture, that you maybe have not thought about in a very long time. And there it is. There it is. Through the comfort of the scripture. So, in that sense, we have a part to play in being comforted. We need to read the Bible. We need to study the Bible. We need to consider what the message of the Bible is. We need to hide that in our hearts because there is a real, beautiful source of comfort. And it's forever settled. And it's something we can stand on. One of the things the Lord has done, and I don't know how we could ever thank Him enough, He built a church. And He didn't build islands. We are members in particular of something beautiful, something rich, something that's full of springs, full of light, full of strength. We have the fountain of the Lord and access to it. And that's through the unity of the saints. Paul wrote, Jesus prayed, keep them. Keep them. And that they may be one. And the world may know that you have sent us, sent me. Paul wrote, endeavor to keep the unity of God's Spirit. I want to say tonight, one of the greatest comforts there is within the plan of salvation is the unity of God's people. The strength and the assets that are afforded to us from one another cannot be overestimated. Always it's God. Always it's the Holy Spirit. To Him be glory and honor forever. But one of the greatest blessings that you and I enjoy is the comfort of the unity of God's people, of the love that He has placed in our hearts, one for another. Have you ever noticed when times get hard, we draw together? When situations occur that really excite and gain our attention and we know death or trouble or legal situations, have you ever noticed how pettiness has a way of losing its identity? You ever notice that? Lord, help us tonight to recognize the comfort that God has placed within the body of Christ. I'd like to read a scripture in 1 Thessalonians. And there's another one we want to get in 2 Corinthians. But anyway, right now, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. The Lord knew well what He was doing when He composed the body of Christ. And He knew well what He was doing when He did not give all gifts to one person or one part. He knew well how to use temperaments and talents and anoint that. He knew how to take the various personalities and place them in strategic places within the body. God knows how to take those members in particular and bring them out at just the right time and place them in just the place they need to be. When that little thing or that big thing is over with, God can take that part of the body and place it right back in its place. And the church continues on, comforting, blessing, encouraging one another. I've always, somewhat anyway, I do marvel. And of the last 15 to 20 years, I have truly thought on this. And it reminds me of a little situation back years ago at work. It's not 100% an allegory, but it'll help make the point. We used to work and in construction, and we were inspectors and surveying. And we would hire from time to time in the summer engineering students. And they would take one of those engineering students and put him with maybe two or three of us. And the chain of command was they were low on the totem. They were part-timers and going back to school in September, and we probably may not see them again. So we kind of had a little ability to lord it over them should we desire. We had an engineer, our supervisor, our boss. He was a pretty wise man. He told us, he said, "Now, fellas, you can treat these boys any way you want to. But," said, "you remember something. One or two of them are going to come back and be your boss one day." So you had to learn that that man, that young man, 18, 20, 21, he may be the next civil engineer and the project manager that you've been assigned to work for. So you wanted to be very careful. I think about that in this term. Little children growing up. Little ones here still at mama's knee. Maybe in their mama's arms. I think about our teenagers and our young adults. Respect them highly. Because I have found and honor them for the work of the Lord's sake and many other reasons. Because out of that pool and resources, God has got some in there that's going to be the exact blessing that you need. They may be the one that ministers you to me or you on our deathbed. They may be the very one that preaches our funeral, sings a song at our funeral. They may be the very one that comes and the sister that came stayed with me and Aline when she was so sick. It never dawned on me. We needed help. I hadn't even prayed necessarily for God to send someone, to say the least, who Sister Doolittle called through Sister Maxine, said she wanted to come, she wanted to stay. I cannot tell you the value of that comfort. And it didn't come as a big light from God. It came in the form of a young woman whom I had watched at camp meetings sleep on the floor in West Virginia in Monarch. You know, isn't that amazing? Don't discount. Don't discount one another. He's old. Oh, that's just a child. No, that's a child of God. It's a saint of God. We never know the resource God is going to choose to bless you and to bless me. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, "He therefore..." That's the 4, 5, and 8. Through maybe the 11th verse. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do." Comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That's a great comfort in that. God has a real reason for the saints to come together. It's comforting. Have you ever come to service? I hope it's been many times, and needed comfort and found solace there. Let's not ever hold the saints at a distance. They are a source of comfort. God uses the body to support the body. God uses the members in the body to strengthen the body. Yes, it's God. We'll never question. We know that's true. But God uses the vehicle of one another. So thank God tonight. He said, "Comfort yourselves." And I don't know what Paul and what God altogether had in mind, but the word "together" is in this. As if there in the Bible teaches a common care, a common love, a common fellowship, one with another. Not to think more highly of oneself than one ought to. And to look on the brothers as and sisters as indeed that, equals and brothers and sisters. And knowing from this will be my blessing. From this will be the one who understands, forgives, and loves, and holds my hand. From this pool, if I can use that term, from this congregation, and I don't mean just right here, but from the congregation of God's people and the fellowship of His saints, there's going to be those in there. That's my source of strength. That's going to be the reason I go on sometimes. Think about it. The fellowship of God's people has a very real strength in helping us resist the devil. God comforts us. And He comforts us one with another. There was a time Paul was in a distressful place. It seemed like everybody had gone to their own tent, so to speak. It seemed like everyone was kind of, oh, well, Paul, yeah, he's... You know, I love Paul, but if I'm associated with Paul, it might mean a little prison time. I'm putting some things in here that the Bible doesn't say exactly. But we know Paul felt deserted. We do know that. And what did God do? God didn't send an angel, and God didn't get Paul out of his hard place. But He put a burden on a man's heart named Titus. And Titus went. And what did Paul say? The Lord comforted me by the coming of Titus. God help us to recognize God as a comforter. And the resources He has are limitless. Over in Colossians, along with the thought we're speaking on right now, Colossians 2 and 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, oh, that's Philippians. I'm having trouble finding the right books tonight. Colossians 2 and 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, a concern, love, desire, a need of your welfare. And for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. And he goes on. Our hearts knit together. I don't know. What I know about knitting, we can write a very little book, maybe a half a page. But I know knitting is made up of a cord or a string. And that cord beside itself, placed in, you could break it. Probably most children here could break that. But that same cord, or we may think of a weaving, being knit together, interlocking, the blues, the grays, the greens, the reds, and the patterns that ensues, and you start putting all that together and knitting it together. What did he say? A four cord or something? What? Threefold cord is not so easily broken. Our hearts being knit together in love is a great comfort. Saints, let's love each other. Support one another. Let's understand and let's forgive one another. Let's bear with one another, because I can tell you by the Word of God and by experiences, God's going to use that vehicle to help you and comfort you. So God wants our hearts knit together in love. Lastly tonight, when you think about what God has done to comfort us, take hold of it. Let it be that anchor that holds. In Isaiah 66, I like this. I had a very good mother. A mother that told me one time, she said, Stanley, I don't know what all is going to happen. And I don't know whatever you may or may not get into. But she said, regardless of whatever happens to you, I want you to know that I'm going to stand by you. She didn't mean that she was going to excuse my wrong. No, on the contrary, there's been many a time she made me make restitution. But she didn't desert me. She didn't forsake me. That's what she was saying. That I'm going to stand by you and I'm going to help you be able to get through whatever might happen. Listen to what it said here in 66 of Isaiah in the 13th verse. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Zion. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice. Let us rejoice tonight. God will, is comforting, and has comforted His people. He is the God of all comfort. When you and me perceive this, that as a mother comforts her child, so the Lord, the Creator, will comfort you. And as we behold this, as we experience it, and as by faith we reach out to embrace it, even sometimes with trembling hands, and when you see this, your heart shall rejoice. I am so glad for the comfort that I've been comforted with. And your bones shall flourish like a herb. Remember that old valley of dry bones? I don't think it means the same thing right here, but sometimes our bones can ache and tremble and be so afraid and distraught. But when we see the comfort God has for His children, we'll begin to rejoice. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward His servants. That's a wonderful promise. Never think God gives you His backhand. Never think God turns His back on you. His hands are outstretched all day long. His eyes seek out, His ears seek out, wanting to show Himself strong. The Lord has His arms stretched, hands stretched out to comfort, to nurse, to dandle us on His knees. And I weigh about 260 pounds. Probably not anyone here could dandle me too well. Bounce me too well. But God can. God can. And God does. More often than I ever tell about. That His hand is toward us. We could think of the right arm of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And His indignation is toward His enemies. So be a friend of God tonight. Because He wants to comfort us in all our tribulations. And I'm sure each one of us have a place that's dear to us. Where it was me and God, where it was you and God. No one else. And He comforted you. You really would probably have trouble writing a testimony to fully explain it. But you could. But you'd think, that's just not quite the story yet. I want to encourage us to write it. I need it. Others need it. But I'm thinking, every one of us has that place where we got to the bottom. It just, nothing helped. And there was Jesus. There was the Father. He didn't discourage us and He didn't discount us and He didn't backhand us His hands. And He said, come, you're laboring now. And my youngest son's not here now, so I'll tell this. I think I have told it. He was a big boy, big, tall, young man. And he got the flu, the regular flu that makes you real sick. And he was sick, bless his heart. And he kind of got a little bit feeling better. And I imagine he was 13, maybe 12, strapping young man. One day he come in the den there where Aline was, and he said, Mama, he said, do you remember when I was little how you used to hold me, rock me? She said, yeah. He said, do you think you could do it again? And she said, we'll try. Please don't tell him I told that. Please don't. But she did. And he was comforted. He was comforted. No medicine, nothing given to him, but he was comforted. His fever was probably about the same. He probably hurt in about the same place, but he was comforted. He was blessed, and that got him through, in his mind, it got him through a crisis that he was facing. Think about it. That's what God wants to do to us. Comfort us in our crisis. Comfort us in those places that we just feel for sure we can't be comforted. That no one understands. There's no way for anybody. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. That's one thing about us in old flesh. We will magnify things. And it's not bad necessarily, it's just who we are. And we think, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened. Hold on. Because down the road, something else is going to happen. And then you're going to have to change your label. No, this is the worst thing that ever happened. And I'm not minimizing that. But I want you to know something. God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. Pray for me.